So, sorry for that. So, I don't think that the political left knows how to win at anything, honestly. Donald Trump says athletes should respect the flag, and if you're taking a knee during a protest, you should be fired. With no mention of any sort of, law that's going to get them fired or anything like that, any policy. But anyway, a bunch of players either kneel or don't show up for the national anthem. So the fans boo them and stop watching football on Sunday. Journalists say that kneeling will be a sign of resistance against Trump. You know, kneeling. What people do when they're being submissive in the face of a leader. So they're going to resist by using a symbol of surrender. Isn't that sort of like showing up to a gunfight with a Nerf gun? This all started with people saying that players should be in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick, who tried to protest the flag of the United States, but ended up protesting the idea of winning instead. Why are people fed up with this stuff, you might ask? Well, because at the end of the day, it's a bunch of millionaires and retarded journalists whining about things that they know nothing about. So basically another week for the left in America. My name is Micah Curtis.
And I'm Alex Belvin, also known as the Hat Man.
And welcome to Micah and the Hat Man. Oh, on politics, yes. That feel when you screw up the intro. I'm just gonna shut off the music. I'm kind of embarrassed now. Oh man. It seems I've woken up with a touch of a cold. But it is easy to say that my trip here to Texas has very much worn on me. Which is unfortunate. So I'm kind of ready to come home. But the job is not done yet. So I shall not return home. So let's go ahead and get right into it. So, I think this might be a first. But we're actually going to talk about sports on this show.
Oh god, do we? Do we have to?
We have to. We've been put in the position where we have no choice. That's what's really
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you to the left for that. Because they can't keep their politics out of everything, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even trying to. That's what makes it even worse. So, football. Hand egg. I'm not a big football watcher, really.
No, neither am I.
I mean, I'm from Chicago originally, and I'm a Bears fan, but I'm not the kind of dedicated Bears fan that watches every week. I'm the type of Bears fan that supports the local team because I'm from the area. But at the same time, I'm really only going to watch it when they're actually enjoyable to watch. Which is not very often. At least we got rid of Jay Cutler. But point being is that something happened this week that I found a bit silly. But I feel is just unfortunate to see because, again, the left just cannot keep politics out of and everything. They seem to think that they need to make everything within our culture a war these days. I mean, we often say that we are a part of a culture war, which is very true. We'll be discussing that in the entertainment podcast a bit this week, too. Who am I kidding? That's mostly, if not all, we'll be talking about. But my point being is that this all started with Colin Kaepernick. And as I said in the monologue, Colin Kaepernick is, or was, a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, because of course he's from San Francisco. And Colin Kaepernick is a half-black individual who was kneeling during the national anthem to show solidarity with Black Lives Matter, and in his words, and this is important because the left is denying this, in his words, to protest the American flag. Because he said he cannot stand for a flag that has been the cause of so much racial divide within our country, or so much racism within the country, and, you know, basically showing solidarity with Black Lives Matter. And he continued to dig himself a hole, like saying that Fidel Castro didn't do nothing, and praising him, which got him very, very audibly booed in Miami.
Good.
Because here's the thing, and for those of you who have never been to Miami, I have been a couple of times, Cubans hate Castro. Don't listen to what the left tells you about him. If they liked Castro, they'd still be in Cuba. These are folks that came over on makeshift rafts to get away from this son of a gun. So,
well, these are the people who actually made it. Keep in mind that a lot of them were sent back or drowned at sea.
Exactly. So the risk to get here is huge. But anyway.
And it was worth taking.
Yeah, exactly. So they hate Castro. So you say anything positive about Castro, they're going to hate you for life in Miami. So, needless to say, Colin Kaepernick was not a popular figure. Nobody wanted him back in the NFL, not just because he couldn't play, or he couldn't play on that level, I should say. Because he's obviously talented, or he would never have been in there in the first place. It's just he wasn't on par with what the NFL was looking for. Plus, because he decided to get political and people just didn't want to watch him, you know, you can't have a star quarterback that nobody wants to watch play. It's bad for business in the NFL. So the 49ers made a business decision. They decided not to renew his contract. A lot of other teams were saying, hey, we're not going to hire this guy because, again, he's bad for business and he's not that talented. So, but you had some people out there like Sean King, Talcum X, who was, you know, saying, oh, we're going to boycott the NFL. Well, leftists don't watch sports. Leftists don't do anything except talk politics. So, and talk about how immoral that everybody but them is. So it wasn't going to go anywhere. But then, and this is kind of the weird thing, Donald Trump, our president, says that anybody who takes a knee during the national anthem should be fired. Just an opinion that he shared. There's no policy behind it. No nothing. Immediately the left goes crazy. Because of course they do. Because everything Trump does drives them crazy. And players came out and they would interlock arms. Which I wouldn't really say like showed like an anti-Trump thing. I think it was more just solidarity with one another. But some kneeled during the national anthem. The Pittsburgh Steelers didn't show up except for one person, and we'll get to him in a minute, because we will honor this man. Just trust me on that. But, and even one player for the Baltimore Ravens, and this made me want to punch this dude in the face, and he's a football player, so he's probably not, you know, if you hit him, he probably, you know, goes unconscious immediately because he's probably got CTE. But I'm sorry, that was a very cruel thing to say. But you know, I'm not happy with this guy at all. So I hopefully that kind of shows it. But he was stretching during the national anthem. That might be one of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen. I was actually surprised when I saw it, because he was getting booed for it. I was genuinely surprised that nobody leapt off the stands just to slap him in the face. Because that was disgusting. And it almost made me think, maybe he should get fired. Maybe he should get fined. Just for the blatant disrespect. Because kneeling for the national anthem, I wouldn't say it's the worst thing ever. You know, because let's face it. This kneeling, this interlocking of arms, or not showing up, was to show how mad they are at the president. It had nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick, because they didn't care about Colin Kaepernick before, let's be honest. Because they like making money, and they're very, you know, these are a bunch of millionaires. But, this is about being mad at Trump, basically.
Yeah, it's not about police brutality. It's not about racism. It may have started that way with Kaepernick, but it is, at the end of the day, a protest against Trump or Trump's America. So all the left-wing articles saying, no, all the white people that are doing it for the wrong reasons, well, no, they're doing it for a different reason, and that has become the prevailing reason. Especially since the logic is Trump has enabled this sort of racist police state anyway.
Yes. But this is, of course, having some big effects. So let's go ahead and just kind of roll through a few things real quick. The WNBA, which nobody watches anyway, because it's boring and nobody dunks. But the WNBA, a finals team, boycotted an anthem. Nobody even knew these finals were going on. But one of the teams in the finals boycotted the anthem. The entire crowd booed them. Because it's a crappy thing to do. On top of that, on social media, NFL fans are burning season tickets. Not giving them away to someone. Burning them. For what happened. They're burning jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Which is insane. We've never seen anything like this before. At least not in my day.
No. Well, especially since football is... I know we call baseball the American pastime, but I would argue, no, it's actually football.
It's becoming that.
Yeah. And this sort of backlash, like even people trying to get refunds from DirecTV for their NFL season tickets or whatever the streaming thing is called. Yeah. Dear God, the lengths that people are going to just because of this. Has become a major issue. I mean, honestly, I don't think it's worth getting that upset over. Especially when Trump was going at it with the NFL, and how, who was it, the commissioner, was it Roger Goodell?
Yeah.
Made a statement back at him. Like, is this where we're at right now, where we pick fights on this sort of thing? Like, it's, at the end of the day, if they want to protest like that by disrespecting the flag, at least they're not, like, going full Antifa.
Yes.
So I don't have that much of an issue with it. However, I do think it's stupid and unwarranted.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I agree with Ben Shapiro on this. It's just a cavalcade of dumb.
Yeah.
Everything about this is dumb.
Yeah.
Because, now here's the thing. I don't think the fan reaction is dumb. That's the only thing I don't disagree with. I think about just about everybody except for the left is... agreed that yeah, the fan reaction is warranted because this is horrible thing to
do. Yeah.
So let's talk about two things real quick. First, we need to talk about a gentleman that we want to thank, not just for standing for his flag when the rest of his team would not, or pulled themselves off the field, but rather who. Let me just put it this way. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be playing the Bears on Sunday. And there was one Steeler who would not follow what his coach said and stay back in the locker room area, or in the entrance way, rather. His name is Alejandro Villanueva. Mr. Villanueva, we should be calling him Captain, because he was an Army Ranger. Fought in the war, several tours with Cerberus, came out, put his hand over his heart during the national anthem. Aside from the fact that this guy, in a point where he knew the media would be all over him if he did this, still came out and did what he knew he needed to do. Aside from the fact that we should honor him for that, which is, I mean, he's already given us enough of his bravery and he just gave us more of it. But on top of that, here's what the reaction was. Villanueva was not like a well-known player. He's an offensive tackle. He's on the line, you know, so, you know, he's not going to be that well known. But his jersey sales on the first day jumped to number 6 in the NFL. By the way, all the proceeds from his jersey sales, he's not taking them. He's not pocketing that money, because that's going to be a lot of money. He's giving it away to a veterans charity. And here's the thing. He actually apologized for this. Because his coach, Tomlin, apparently chided him for what he did. Let me just say this. I have no reason to think that this gentleman is going to listen to what I have to say. Or he's going to hear this podcast. But I'm going to say it anyway. Mr. Villanueva, Captain, you have nothing to apologize for. You're a patriot. You served your country faithfully, and you still put your body on the line just for our entertainment on Sundays. You're a brave man, a good man, and you're an example of what every American should strive to be. Thank you.
Amen.
Now, some might wonder, why is it that there is such a backlash against what the football players are doing? Well, I got some statistics because of Aiden's influence on me, I guess you could say, or videos rather, because I don't get the chance to chat with her that often. But the importance of statistics is not lost on me even more now. But when we look at the amount, the people who watch football, demographic-wise, it's a mostly white audience, as in about 65 to 70% white folks. And it's about 15% black people. The rest is just kind of assorted. Ages 20 to 44 are kind of your main demographic. Does that demographic sound familiar? Should. Because it's the demographic that voted for Donald Trump. And a sense of patriotism has not been lost in this country. A lot of people had feared that it had been after 8 years of Obama. You know, basically apologizing for this country when there was no reason to do so. But it has not been lost. People are even bolder now than they were before, which is a crazy thing if you think about it, given our country's history of boldness. So when I this was destined to fail, to say the least. And it's dumb. It really was one of the dumbest things that they could have done. You know, and the more that these players continue to whine about Trump, the less people like them. LeBron James came out and said, oh, Trump's trying to divide us. Like, well, wait a minute. We just spent the last 8 years being divided by somebody else and you said nothing. And now, because people see right through it. It's a unify under us being the left, or we are not unified. It's a my way or the highway approach to patriotism.
I don't even know if I'd call it an approach to patriotism. I'd say just leftist ideology, if anything.
Yeah, it's not accurate.
Yeah, let's be real. They don't care about patriotism. They don't care about the country. They care about getting their way. You never heard them talk about concepts like treason until Trump got into office.
Yeah. They're world citizens. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. They don't care about the United States as a nation. They care about the fact that somebody who is openly against them and is taking people along with him to go against leftist ideologues is in power and is a threat to them. That's what they're after. And I think a lot of the NFL players are also using that to their advantage to draw more attention to themselves. Like Colin Kaepernick, he was a nobody until he knelt during the anthem.
Basically.
And now, all of a sudden, he's more or less kicked off a career in activism. I think he actually went as far as to say he doesn't care about the NFL anymore. He wants to be a social justice activist.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, he can go link arms with Talcum X later on if he hasn't already.
Well, if nothing else, it'll show a sign of racial harmony because Talcum X is white. There's going to be a day where I'm going to be in a bad mood. I'm just going to go into Sean King's Twitter. I'm going to grab every single tweet of his. I'm going to subtweet him and just say, "You're white." He's as pasty as I am.
Just a bad day.
I mean, I was out in the Houston sun for about 3 or 4 hours a couple days ago. I'm still pasty. What does that tell you? How I didn't get sunburned is beyond me. But I don't know. I am destined to be pale. So needless to say, it's pointless, it's stupid, and it went nowhere, and it will continue to go nowhere. And they're going to continue to lose money on it. Because that's the economic reality of pissing off your entire fan base. It is what it is. I'm only going to start to care when mixed martial artists start doing this crap. But considering so many mixed martial artists that fight are, you know, have been American athletes or lived in America all their life and are fairly patriotic, I don't see that happening in MMA. MMA is kind of like a very red-pilled sport, I guess you could say. Not the Nazi style of red-pilled, but because there's a lot of black athletes who are dominating it. But the, you know, actual type of red-pilled reality-facing kind, because when you're getting punched in the face by another dude for money, and you have to be at your physical peak, and you have to be at your peak skill-wise, you at that point you believe in a hierarchy. At that point you believe in things being earned, you know. So, but once it starts going into MMA, then we're going to have problems. Oh, and Dana White, the president of the UFC, is a Trump supporter, so...
Ooh.
Yeah, spoke at the RNC this year too, so with a damn good speech. I like Dana White, so I think he's a good businessman. I think he's very stern, and that's what drive people nuts about him. But pulls in money. He knows when to back the right horse. Well, except for John Jones and his steroids. But moving on. So Bernie Sanders. I haven't done that impression in a while, but.
But Bernie Sanders has decided to do something that didn't really go that well for him the first time, but he did it again, is he decided to debate healthcare,
and he lost. So he and Bill Cassidy had a debate on CNN that was not very, very, very promoted, which surprised the hell out of me. But he got wrecked again. That's not really the news here. Because nobody's surprised. I think that time has shown that Bernie Sanders is very bad in debates. There was a point where Bill Cassidy was making a point about socialism and why it always fails. And great, you know, even though I don't like the Cassidy-Graham bill, the speeches he gave, and he was very good in debate. And, like, not as good as Ted Cruz, but still very good. Like, he was very ready for this. because he did his homework. He was you do your homework and you're going to beat Bernie Sanders, it seems, because Bernie's just going to come out there and he's going to talk feelings and he's going to talk about that, you know, socialism is the way to go because it really cares about the people. Ignore Stalin and the gulags and the fact that I vacationed in Soviet Russia. No. It was really a good thing, and just ignore the salt mines. But Stalin did do nothing. But anyway, what really was telling here was, first, there was a point where Cassidy is talking about the failures of socialism and why Medicare for All would fail, and Bernie was visibly complaining to the moderator, visibly complaining to her about what Cassidy was saying. That is a sign of defeat, because he might as well have just given away that the moderator was on his side. So, yeah, he lost again. But what was really telling was, and this is a rumor that I read on the Daily Wire, is that Bernie was apparently coached to talk about the Krasny Graham bill's shortcomings and compare and contrast to Medicare for All and try to sell that bill. He was not supposed to talk about single payer at all. He was not supposed to talk about socialism at all in his coaching. He ignored both directions completely. So that's one thing. Second thing is that Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, who are his biggest supporters in the Senate, and on top of that, biggest supporters in the Senate, aside from that one yutz that he tried to get to be the head of the DNC that's a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood, but whose name escapes me at the moment.
Keith Ellison.
Keith Ellison, yes. Scumbag Keith Ellison, as we'll call him from now on. Because he supports terrorism. But Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, they did not watch the debate. They did not tweet out anything about the debate. They said nothing about the debate. They didn't go and support him. You know what they did? They went to a Katy Perry concert to cozy up to her.
Meaning
that they ignored somebody who could be a big supporter for either of them. And let's face it, these two are going to be in the Democrat primary for president.
Oh, absolutely they will be.
That's what they're pushing for. And it will probably be Kamala Harris who gets it. That's who I'm anticipating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's younger. She's kind of pretty for her age. She's a Californian, you know.
Micah, you're overlooking the most obvious thing. She's a black woman.
Oh, I was gonna say, black woman. So
yeah,
my point was she ticks all the boxes that the Democrats want for a perfect candidate. They want another Obama.
Yeah. So, they want another diversity hire. So
yeah. So there is a they spent their time, cozying up to celebrities as opposed to supporting the actual discussion about their own policies.
This is typical of the left, though.
It's typical, but I would figure, given how they have given a mostly unified front up to this point, in a lot of manners, but the fact that they would just drop Bernie like that, I found a little surprising. But it might have to do with some comments that Bernie had made recently. He had said basically that he will not register with the Democratic Party or run as a Democrat in his next election in Vermont, but rather he will continue to run as an independent. Reason being, he said, is that the Democrats are not willing to move even further to the left. Now, this does not surprise me that much.
No.
From what we know of Bernie and who he is linked to, some of you have probably heard, we've talked about it before, the Justice Democrats, the group that Kyle Kulinski and the Young Turks are trying to get off the ground. That's really not going anywhere. He claims it's going places, and they finally got one person who's going to run for the Senate. But when you said that you had hundreds of thousands of supporters right out of the gate, and you got one person who's actually running, that's very telling. But anyway, they are linked to Bernie Sanders. That is what their platform is the Bernie Socialist platform. And the fact that the Democratic Party, even seeing the strides that Bernie had made and how close he came to actually, you know, beating the Democratic Party when the Democratic Party did not want him to win, the fact that they couldn't get him on their side is very, very telling. But I think that this is all, this could be a sign of not necessarily retaliation, but a sign of indifference to his goals. And basically, it's a you're on your own sort of thing. It's like, yeah, we'll support you on this bill. Basically, like I called, I think a few weeks ago, that it's just basically one big virtue signal because it's not going to go through. It doesn't have nearly enough support to even get anywhere close to even getting a vote taken on it.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's needless to say that you know, this was obviously deliberate by Booker and Harris in regards to kind of showing where their loyalties really lie. They care much more about celebrity endorsement than they do about what Bernie Sanders has to say.
Pretty much, because that's how they reach the general public. If celebrities will endorse their message, and people, you know, being so obsessed with celebrities like they are, will take that to heart. Oh, if Captain America says this, then it must be true.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well for him.
Well, it's not working out too well right now, but...
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I think celebrities are sort of at their lowest point of popularity, I think, in a long, long time.
Well, yeah, because I think people have really figured out the trick that Hollywood is overwhelmingly left-wing, and if you espouse any sort of views that go against that, you will be ostracized. I mean, look what happened to Tim Allen and, oh, shoot, what was his show that got canceled?
Last Man Standing.
Last Man Standing. I mean, case in point, and nobody wanted to come out and admit that was the reason why, especially, you know, right after a Trump victory.
Yeah.
But we knew. But I think Bernie's goal at the end of the day is to either, yes, push the Democratic Party even further to the left, or outright have it replaced with the Socialist Democratic Party, or Democratic Socialist Party, or whatever the name of it is.
Yeah.
The one that has actual socialist in the name. And this Medicare for All gambit is basically his way of testing the waters to see how they would react to stuff like single payer. Mm-hmm. And now you've already got the rising stars like Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris and Cory Booker saying, yes, this is the first step to single payer. And this is what we need to lead into, because single payer is the future. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next year or so, assuming, you know, Bernie makes it that long, he is a rather old fella, that he's going to advocate for basic income too.
Oh, he will.
Because, I mean, it's basically taking pages out of the socialist playbook that has more or less taken hold in European nations, specifically Sweden.
Yeah. And that is definitely the path that he wants to take us down, and it's a path I think we should resist at every turn.
Absolutely.
So, I personally, I don't think that it's going to go anywhere, because the weird thing is that Trump is starting to gain in popularity the more that these celebrities continue to, you know, piss off the American public. So, they basically trade one cult of personality for another. It's just the cult of personality that's being traded in is the guy that is going to be voted in as the, you know, the president of the nation in a few years. So, not really a good gamble, but we'll talk more about that later. Let's go ahead and talk real quick before we do get into that discussion about what happened with Free Speech Week. Hatman, I will let you take the lead on this one.
Okay, so Free Speech Week more or less got sabotaged. The Oh shoot, I forget what his title was, but he was like the spokesperson for UC Berkeley. He had a really good link to the newspaper there, and the newspaper was laying out the argument that Free Speech Week was going to be terrible for the university and whatnot, and they were getting all kinds of complaints, and so that basically just marked the end of it. The group that was sponsoring it, I believe it was like Young American Patriots or something of that sort. It wasn't the College Republicans. It was
The Berkeley Patriot.
Berkeley Patriots. Well, you know what I mean. But anyway, they were forced to cancel the event. Milo had paid out, I think, some $40,000 for security, and he hasn't received any of that back, as he claims. Of course, Berkeley claims that they have paid him back for it, so it's their word against each other. And he tried to hold an event on his own. And it lasted a little bit, maybe like an hour or so, I think, and he left. People weren't allowed to get into where he was speaking at. There was a police presence there, and they were telling people, you need tickets, even though this was not a sponsored event. He just sort of showed up in a free speech area, and maybe 50 or so people were actually able to hear him and get stuff signed and whatever before he left. There were protests, obviously. People were protesting a couple hours before he had planned to show up. The usual suspects, Refuse Fascism, the local Antifa groups, I believe Industrial Workers of the World was there as well, but don't quote me on that.
But By Any Means Necessary was there.
By Any Means Necessary was there, and the same woman who got arrested at a previous protest got arrested again there.
Yeah, this time official charges are being filed, too.
Yeah, about time. But yeah, it was we kind of figured that it was going to go downhill, or at least in some way be sabotaged, but, man, I really did not expect it to go out like this. And to be perfectly honest, I'm a little disappointed that Milo didn't try to push a little harder to keep this thing going.
Well, from what they have said, there is supposed to be another attempt at it sometime in the future.
Oh yeah, he said he wants to go back to Berkeley in the future, and that's what's going to happen. Of course he's going to go back. You can't keep the guy down.
No.
But no, it's honestly just getting ridiculous at this point. Like, this is. Having just finished the Antifa book, this is the method. Shut down speakers by accusing them of being fascists. Therefore, you are justifying your attack on their free speech rights. Not the free speech rights guaranteed by the First Amendment, mind you, but the more ethical, human rights-oriented free speech rights. Because you accuse them of being fascist, you are therefore justified in shutting them down and suppressing them. And you win. As straight out of the anti-fascist handbook. All you gotta do is call them
really,
a fascist.
Yeah, it's really not surprising. But, what I found interesting about all this is that they didn't really go for a private venue in the first place. And I think that the reason that they didn't is because I think the Berkeley Patriot did legitimately want to have a free speech week.
Yeah.
But the issue with this is that they knew that they're, or at least I would like to think these are students, so maybe they didn't, but they had to have some inkling of a thought that the college was not going to want to go through with this. That they're going to try to stonewall him, which is exactly what happened. So, I don't know. Part of me thinks that this honestly just kind of felt like an exercise in pointlessness, because they should have had a backup venue already prepared.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I think they knew that the university was going to try something. And that's why I say Milo really should have done more in this case. But it really does sort of beg the question of whether or not they wanted this to fail so they could continue on with the narrative that, you know, Antifa wants to shut them down and Berkeley is against them, which we already knew. I don't know why you would have to go another step further to prove this, because it had already been proven. I mean, the fact that they wanted a security deposit of like $10,000+ when security didn't do anything last time is bogus. I mean, that absolutely shows it that they're stonewalling. So maybe they have a point. Maybe they did want it. At least Milo and company wanted it to get shut down. But then there's also the issues with the shoddy organizing and how some of the speakers that were announced said, I wasn't aware that I was announced for this. I'm not going. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then you have like Ann Coulter pulling out, and you know, Steve Bannon never said anything about going there either. And it seemed it was like Milo and Mike Cernovich and someone else, I forget who, but they were going to be like the only ones. But still, like, I do believe that they had every intention of holding the event, but I think they wanted to hold the event at Berkeley, and having a backup area for that would have really negated the point that they were trying to drive home, which is we're going to do this on your turf whether you like it or not.
Yeah, which is valiant, but sometimes valiance doesn't necessarily work out.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, one part of the reason that I like being a right winger is because we're supposed to be the practical ones. And I feel that every time we ditch practicality, it just smashes us right in the face. And I think this is one of those times. I do think that, you know, Berkeley is an important battleground. Because the fact of the matter is that if the left were to lose Berkeley or lose enough ground in Berkeley, then it would send a very, very big message to the Democratic Party, especially the more extreme elements, like Antifa, like so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because messages need to be sent, and that leads us into the final topic of the day. So I wanted to at least talk about resist. This is probably my favorite dumb hashtag in the world right now. Because it's not working. It might be one of the most ineffective resistances I've ever seen in my life, because every single time that the left has gone up against Trump, they have lost in regards to culture and the whole nine yards. Now, here's the thing. I don't think that Donald Trump is playing 5D underwater, you know, Uno or something like that. You know, I don't think that is the case here. You know, I don't think that he is necessarily, you know, planning this ahead. I think that it's more so how stupid the left is that is what causes these things to happen. Because their only reaction to Trump is to act like he is a schoolyard bully. And the problem with an adult acting like another human being is a schoolyard bully is that you look childish, which is kind of funny. So with this particular situation, I'm thinking to myself, there are so many ways that you could get around the things that Trump says and the things that he does. You could be smart about it. You could call him out for the things that he says. You could call out his tactics, or you can basically go "Ree!" like the Democrats have tended to do. I mean, you think about what the resist crowd has done over the last 6 months. They have made excuses for Antifa. They have protested the flag. They've propped up Chelsea Manning as a symbol of purity. That was Vox's doing. Calling her the most pure soul on the internet. This is the same person who gave military secrets away that cost people their lives.
Mm-hmm. Who actually was convicted of treason.
Yes.
Should be added.
So, there's little things like that, and there's a meme basically on the internet of this is why you get Trump, and some people disagree with that. I disagree with their disagreement. I'm more with someone like a Michael Knowles on this, or Milo Yiannopoulos, is that there are people out there that saw what the left was trying to do with the culture, and they hated it, and they said, this is not what we want. This is not what we believe. So we're going to vote for the guy that pisses you off the most. And it has worked. Because they are so angry that they have just gone stupid. And every single thing that they try to do backfires. Because people just don't want to get behind it anymore. And they refuse to move further to the center. At least that's my interpretation of things.
I think at this point, they have so deluded themselves into believing that Trump presents an active threat to the existence of the United States that they've gone full retard. Like, there are people who sincerely believe that Trump is one step away from executing them. I remember seeing people on my Facebook feed talking about, right after the election, how Trump was literally going to cause their deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Unironically, like, this was not hyperbole or anything. They literally believed this. And so, of course, they're going to do whatever they can, you know, hashtag resist, actually go out in a participate in a riot, attack cops, want to overthrow the government that they honestly believe is going to oppress them, or at least cause their murder. But what they fail to understand is, even if Trump wanted to be a totalitarian demagogue, there are certain protections that have been put into place by our founding fathers in their wisdom that would prevent such a thing. Separation of powers, checks and balances. Or have we already forgotten how district courts have struck down some of Trump's executive orders? Or at least tried to.
Yeah.
Have we forgotten how Trump can't get his healthcare bills passed in the Senate? I mean, at least Trump isn't trying to curtail all of that by going full executive order. In fact, he's done more to reverse some of that practice by Obama, taking things like DACA back to the Senate so that they can vote on it. But it's ultimately faithlessness in the Americans' political system. Maybe it's just developed from the general frustration that was an election they thought they had in the bag, which ended up surprising them and me. Admittedly, I thought they had it in the bag too.
Oh, we both did.
Yeah. And maybe that's what's led them down this path. But honestly, it's the whole resistance movement is failing because it was predicated on a lie. And that lie is Trump is a fascist. Trump is the next iteration of Hitler, and it is our responsibility to stop him, to save history. And that's not what's going to happen. Now, if somehow, in the statistical unlikeliness of it all, if it comes to pass that Trump does go full Hitler, then I will gladly eat those damn words. But as it stands now, no. And I have faith in the Constitution and the government as set up by our founding fathers to prevent tyranny from taking hold.
I will close on this, and we'll bring it to an end for this week. So, what I find most ridiculous about Resist is that, again, and like you outlined, it's completely ignorant of the governmental system, completely ignorant of reality. When we had these football protests this week, if this had been Nazi Germany, if this had been communist China or Russia, an army of soldiers would have marched onto the field and executed every single one of those players. All of them. They would just kill them or send them to the gulag. That didn't happen. When the leader, Bam, got arrested, if this was Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia, anything like that, when they put the cuffs on her, they would have shot her in the head. We don't live in anything close to tyranny. And when people see the law working as it's supposed to, and people are saying that it's tyranny, it's sort of like calling a donut a slice of pizza. You look at it and you go, why are you lying to me? And that, I think, is why, at the end of the day, Resist fails. It's nothing more than a big lie that's being perpetuated by people like Keith Olbermann in his mother's basement with his stupid show for GQ. Had to throw one little dig in there. All right, folks. We appreciate you guys watching this week. I understand that a lot of people are upset that these are not being live streamed. I am sorry for that. I wish that we could, but I'm working off hotel internet right now, and I'm editing these in a car in the middle of a parking lot. So this is not something that we can really do live right now. But I will be back in Illinois here about a week and a half. So we'll get back to the fun stuff on Wednesdays for sure.
Not to mention, I know some people are going to be disappointed that we didn't talk about the Antifa book, well, in depth this week. We didn't have time for it. Just plain and simple. We don't have the time. But what we're going to do instead is a live stream Q&A, sort of like reacting to the anti-fascist handbook. Once Micah gets back to Illinois, we're going to go all out. We will dedicate an entire stream to talking about this book and what it means. And we hope that you all will be there and ask some good questions about it.
Absolutely. So remember to hold on to those questions for us. And yeah, we'll have a big Q&A session about it. All right, folks. We really appreciate you guys watching from week to week. Again, do not forget, this show is available on iTunes now. So if you want to download this and take it with you on your mobile device of choice, you can download it off of iTunes. And Cloudflare is our host, correct?
Fireside.
Fireside, my bad.
So Fireside.fm.
Yes, you can also go to Fireside.fm if you're not an iTunes user and download the podcast there as well. So, with all that said, my name is Micah Curtis.
And I'm Alex Belvin, also known as the Hat Man.
And we will see you guys next week.
Deus Vult.
Deus Vult.